الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had read the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, clarifying the obligation of obeying the Muslim rulers and that which is considered obedience to Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. The obligation of obeying the Muslim rulers and that which is permissible and allowed. And also we had began reading the chapter that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with regards to the prohibition of revolting against the rulers, clarifying the ills and the great calamities and the chaos that comes about by way of that. We're reading the chapter, he mentioned, Babu Al-Khuruji an al-Jama'ah, the chapter with regards to revolting against the Muslim authority and going against the Muslim government. The author, he mentioned some verses from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal and a number of narrations. And the previous narration that we were reading was the narration of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu that is collected by Imam Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified in this narration and many other narrations similar like this, that they will come after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, individuals who have authority over the Muslims, and they will be corrupted in their knowledge and understanding, and likewise they will be corrupted in their actions and their deeds. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that some of them, their hearts will be the hearts of devils inside the bodies of men, meaning that these people, they are foul and they are evil. And then at this time, we have seen in the previous class as well, the great diligence of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu to understand the proper methodology and how to deal with this affair and how to deal with the likes of this leadership and of this authority. So therefore he asked, what would I do? What should I do, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I meet the likes of this time and the likes of these individuals? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the advice in this circumstance, and he says, تَسْمَعُ وَتَطِيعُ الْأَمِيرُ تَسْمَعُ وَتُطِيعُ الْأَمِيرُ وَإِنْ ضُرِبَ ظَهْرُكَ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكَ فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِيعُ فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِيعُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised him at this time that you should listen and you should obey the ruler. That you should listen and obey the ruler. If your back is beaten and if your wealth is taken, then you listen and you obey. Then you listen and you obey. So this is an amazing narration clarifying the importance of this affair and the status of this affair. And the wisdom behind this is because that so long as there is a ruler and there is one who is placed in charge and has authority, then underneath him much of the blood and the wealth and the property and the reputation and honor of the believers is kept safe in that manner. And whenever the people, they revolt and they go against the ruler, and they make a revolution, and they do not listen nor do they obey, and they fight and rebel against the authorities, then at this time there is much bloodshed, and at this time many rights are violated, and likewise the chaos enters into the society and the order is turned upside down, and there is much calamity, and likewise the honor and reputation of individuals are taken, and many women are raped in this time, and so many evils and calamities and corruptions come about by way of that. So therefore, even if there is a ruler who is corrupted and evil, even if there is a ruler who is corrupted and evil in this manner, to obey him in that time and to be patient is better than going against him and that which comes from that, and that which comes from that, from the evils. And the Salaf, they used to say, مَا تَقْرَهُنَا فِي الْإِجْتِمَاعِ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا تُحِبُّونَ فِي الْفُرْقَةِ. That what you dislike whenever you are in unity and unified under the Muslim ruler, that what you dislike at this time is better and more preferable than that what you like in times of division and separation. And whenever a person he has a type of ruler like this, maybe he will see things he dislikes, as is mentioned in this narration. مَنْ كَرِهَ مِنْ أَمِرِهِ شَيْءٍ فَلْيَسْبِرُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever dislikes something from his ruler, then let him be patient. Let him be patient, because that which he dislikes now from the sins and from the innovations, for example, no doubt this is foul. But also along with that is the fact that there's a leader that is set, and there's order in society, and there's general safety and security through the lands. And the avenues and the pathways are safe, and the doors of the masajid are open, and the da'wah is spreading, and the people are going to their occupations and making a living and earning their livelihood and the likes like this, even though they're under the rule of a corrupted ruler. Even though they're under the rule of a corrupted ruler. As for whenever that ruler is opposed and there's rebellion, then now the authority is removed and the chaos comes to the streets, and there's no safety and there's no security. And there's no safety and there's no security. And the dangers are much greater, and the evils are more severe. The evils are more severe. So from the great principles about Islam, to bring about the good or maximize that, or to forbid the evil or minimize that. And to avoid the harms and evil takes precedence over bringing about good. So the fact that they have a corrupt ruler, although they have safety and security and they have their livelihood, this is better. This is better. As for whenever they rebel against the ruler, then they do not have safety and security, and they do not have the means to get their livelihood. And they don't have the means to get their livelihood. And likewise, the avenues of da'wah are forbidden and the likes like this. A person, maybe he's not even safe leaving his house to go to the masjid. He's not even safe leaving his house to go buy some bread and some milk in the market and the likes like this, because there's no authority. Because there's no authority in the land. The closest example we have from this is the example in Syria. We have seen that they had rebelled against their ruler. No doubt before, they had a corrupted ruler. And the ruler was corrupt and evil, and he was oppressing them and the likes like that. But the situation that they were in while he was their ruler, along with his corruption, and along with his evil, and along with his oppression, and along with his foulness, the situation that they were in then is better than the situation that they are in now. The situation that they were in then is better than the situation that they are in now. And this is very clear. This is very clear. This is very clear. So this is an example of that. And this is from the plots of the enemies of Al-Islam. They want to do this to the Muslim Ummah, to belittle them and to humiliate them and to divide them and to weaken them in this manner, and to conquer them and to put in authority whom they like and the likes like this. So this is something that one should realize. And they are hoping to do this to the most holy and sacred lands of Al-Islam, the lands of Al-Hijaz and Mecca and Medina. May Allah preserve them and protect them from that. And may Allah disgrace those who have enmity towards the believers and towards Islam. Disgrace them and destroy them and remove them and replace them with those who are better, those who fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something to be aware of. In any case, these narrations are very clear. These are from the most authentic narrations. Either they're in Bukhari and Muslim, or they're in Bukhari or in Muslim. So these are from the most authentic narrations. And the same one who mentioned, for example, the narration, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, who mentioned this narration that we're all aware of, that indeed the actions are by way of intention. And the one who mentioned all of the narrations that we're aware of, the narrations about the hereafter and about the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the narrations clarifying the obligations of Salat and Zakat. The same one who mentioned these narrations, he's the one who mentioned the narrations with regards to obeying the ruler, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many times you will find a person, if you mention to them the narrations, for example, about the niyyah, or the narrations about salah, or the narrations about the virtuous and righteous deeds, they will listen attentively and they will enjoy that. But then if you mention to them the narrations from the same prophet, from the same messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but about a different subject, about the subject of obeying the ruler, you find their faces, they ball up and they cannot stand it. And they cannot stand it. They cannot dare to listen to the likes of these narrations. This is foul. And this is because they have something corrupted in their heart. And that Islam is a religion of submission and a religion of willful obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one who narrated the narrations about Salat and about Zakat, and the one who narrated the narrations and informed us about these affairs, of the religion in general, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the one who narrated these narrations about obeying the ruler. He's the one who narrated these narrations here about obeying the ruler sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is his methodology and his advice for his ummah after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he says, wallahu, yani wali Muslim, also is narrated by Imam Muslim and Urfujah, الأشجعي رضي الله عنه مرفوعة: من أتاكم وأمركم جميع على رجل واحد يريد أن يشق عصاكم ويفرق جماعتكم فاقتلوه. The author, he mentions now a narration that is likewise in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Urfuja al-Ashja'i رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that whoever comes to you while you are all united behind one man, whoever comes to you while you are all united behind one man, meaning behind the leadership and the authority of one man, meaning a Muslim ruler. What is intended here is the Muslim ruler. You are all united behind the Muslim ruler. Whoever comes to you while you are all united behind the Muslim ruler, and then he tries to divide you and to separate you, فَاقْتُلُوهُ, then kill him. Then kill him. This is the advice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the punishment, and this is the manner to deal with the individual who comes and tries to divide the ummah and to turn them away, to turn them away from the obedience of the Muslim ruler. So whenever the believers, they are upon an allegiance to a particular ruler, whether he is righteous or whether he is evil, so long as he is a Muslim ruler, and somebody comes along after that and tries to challenge him in his authority, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the advice and the command and the way to deal with that person who challenges that authority after it's already established, and that is that he should be killed. And that is that he should be killed. This is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, it has been narrated from Urfuja as well, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, "Inna," that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Innahu satakunu hanatun wa hanat. Faman arada an yufarriqa amra hadhihi al-umma wa hiya jami'un fadribuhu bis-sayf ka'ina man kan. Fadribuhu bis-sayf ka'ina man kan." And another narration by Urfuja radiyallahu anhu, also in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّهُ سَتَكُونُ هَنَاتٍ وَهَنَاتٍ, يعني ستكونوا يعني فتن والشرور. They're going to be evils. هَنَاتٌ وَهَنَاتٍ, يعني فتن والشرور. They're going to be trials. They're going to be much evil coming after me. So whoever comes and he wants to separate the affair of this ummah, meaning he wants to change, to redirect the authority and the leadership after it's already established, and this ummah is established and in accordance. وَهِيَ جَمِيعٌ وَهِيَ جَمِيعٌ يَعْنِي جَمِيعٌ يَعْنِي جَمَاعَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ عَلَى إِمَامٍ وَاحِدٍ عَلَى حَكِيمٍ وَاحِدٍ, and they are united. So whoever comes and he tries to separate the affair of this ummah while they're united behind one man, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say again? فَاضْرِبُوهُ بِالسَّيْفِ, strike him with the sword. Strike him with the sword, كَائِنًا مَنْ كَانَ, whoever he may be. Whoever he may be, strike him with the sword, whoever he may be. And no matter his lineage, no matter his tribe, no matter his status, no matter his rank, whether he's a person of virtue, a person of knowledge, a great scholar, or he's somebody who has great status in society, or is very wealthy, كَأِنَ مَنْ كَانَ. This is the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this is in order to do away with the dissension and to finish this affair before it even starts. Anybody who comes with this manner, trying to divide you and to separate you from following and listening and obeying the ruler that is already established in your land and that has the authority and it's known, then you kill that person. That person who comes like this, whoever he may be. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has ordered in order to do away with these fitan, in order to cut off these trials before they even come. So this is something that is very clear. The obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler and the prohibition of revolting and going against him. The prohibition of revolting and going against him. So we see that this is the case here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they're going to be hanat wa hanat, yani fitin wa shurur. And then also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they're going to be rulers that their hearts are like devils. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they're not going to follow my sunnah and they're not going to be upon my path and my guidance. Along with all of that, he ordered to obey them. Even if they're oppressive, taking somebody's wealth and striking them and beating them physically, that one he should obey them and be patient. This is any clear with regards to being oppressive in the affairs of the world in life. But even likewise, if the ruler was misguided, and he misguided clearly, like he mentioned here in these narrations that we have read, he's misguided, he doesn't follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not upon the proper creed, for example. And the greatest example of that we see is in the time of Imam Ahmed. Whenever the rulers of his time, rahimahullahu ta'ala, they were calling to the creed that the Quran is created, which is falsehood and disbelief. It's disbelief to make this claim. To claim that the Quran is created. That the Quran is created. This is a claim and a statement of disbelief. And the one who believes that, he has left Islam. Waliyadu billah. And the scholars of the Sunnah have clarified this. And this is what the Khulafa, in the time of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, they were upon. And they were deceived by misguided people of knowledge. And they were deceived by the ulama as-su. And they were following that way, and they were imposing that way. Even they had executed some of the people of knowledge who was opposing them, and who was standing firm upon the proper creed and belief. And along with all of this, Imam Ahmed, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he never revolted against the ruler. He never revolted against the ruler, nor did he ever speak ill to them and the likes like this. And he did not allow the people to revolt against the ruler, along with the evils that they're calling to, and along with the oppression that they're upon, along with the fact that they have executed a number of the scholars of hadith from the people of the Sunnah, and others, they were imprisoned. And they're spreading this knowledge even in the small schools where they're teaching the children that the Quran was created. All of this is mentioned to Imam Ahmad, and he did not never allow for the sword to be raised and for them to revolt against the ruler. Rather, he held fast to the likes of these narrations. Man ra'a minkum min amirihi shay'an yaqrahu falyasbir. Falyasbir, this is what Imam Ahmad did. He is the example of that, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And who was the outcome for? Who was the outcome for? And the end, who had the victory? Who had the aid and the support? Whose name is raised today? And he's known as Imam Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Al-Imam Ahmad, those khulafa who were claiming those claims and who were establishing those rules, which one of us knows one of their names? Their names, and they're not well known. They're not well known. Whose name is well known? Those people who were calling to misguidance are forgotten. Those khulafa and the likes like this, they're forgotten. And Imam Ahmad, his name is well known, rahimahullah. Rahimahullah. So he was given victory because of his patience, because of his steadfastness, because of how he was firm upon obedience and holding fast to the sunnah. Like whenever Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, what should I do? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him what to do. So whenever that came to the time of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, what did he do? He followed the narration. He followed the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and faced this difficulty. And the outcome and the good ending was for him, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is the case likewise. Likewise, it has been narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, also connected by Imam Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَثَرَةٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا. That indeed this is going to come after me, athara. Athara, yani meaning that the rulers and the people of authority, they're going to show preference to their self, and they're going to withhold the rights of the people. The rights that are supposed to be shared amongst the people, they're going to withhold them and show preference to their self and leave off giving the people their rights. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, after me, this is going to happen. And there's going to be affairs that occur that you dislike, that you will find to be wrong and incorrect. And then the companions again, because of their diligence to learn and to know the guidance, قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ تَأْمُرُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ ذَلِكَ كَيْفَ تَأْمُرُ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ مِنَّا ذَلِكَ. O Messenger of Allah, what do you order the one who reaches the likes of this affair from us? So again, they're not following their desires. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing them that this is going to happen. So then they ask, what should we do if we meet the likes of this time? What should we do if these affairs come to us while we're alive? So they're seeking the guidance, and this is the means of success, to follow the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every situation, in every circumstance, especially in the most dangerous of affairs and the likes of this, that would be a means to affect all of the ummah. So it's one thing for a person to make a mistake in affairs that only affect him or affect his family or those people who are near to him and the likes like this. The fact that he made a mistake and it affected his life and his religion, this is a failure. This is an act of failure. This is a problem. It becomes worse if now his mistake starts affecting others, like for example, affecting his family. He's making mistakes in his decisions. He's not moving properly according to the sunnah. This is affecting his family. This is a foul way. This is a foul way. So how about if it's affecting the whole ummah now, not just his family, rather the family of all of the believers? And this is the case for those who revolted against the ruler. This mistake is affecting the ummah entirety. Those people who revolted against the ruler again in Syria. And no doubt the ruler was found in evil. A number of the people of knowledge declared him to be a disbeliever, but they did not have the ability, nor were they advised from the upright and people of knowledge who have wisdom and understanding to revolt because of that which will come about from that. Look at all of the families that were affected, the whole country, millions literally, have died, have been spread far and wide. And he left here and left there. Some of them to this day are in refugee camps. Some of them to this day, they're eating off the ground. Some of them to this day, they went to this country or that country. One part of the family is in this country. Another part is in that country. Some of them, they don't even know where their family is. They don't know where their child is. They don't know where their father is, if he's alive or if he's dead. They don't know what happened to him whenever the army came into town. So this is the result of that. So no, this is much worse. This is much more severe than the oppression that they're facing before that. So no doubt inflation is a problem. No doubt the ruler oppressing the people is a problem. But if it's not handled properly according to the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will get worse. It will get worse and it will not get better. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed them. Now they asked him, "What should we do if we meet the likes of these affairs?" We listen to the wisdom. We have to pay attention and realize that this is the statement of the man who does not speak from his desires, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, the amazing advice whenever Hudhayfa, he asked, "What should I do if I meet that time? If I meet the likes of that time, what should I do?" You listen and you obey, even if your back is beaten, and even if they physically harm you and strike you, and even if they rob you and take your wealth, you listen to them and obey them. Because this harm here that you're facing is no doubt an evil, but the evil that will come about if you revolt is greater and more severe. So the same thing likewise in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and the companions that were in this gathering. So they said, "What should we do for the one who he lives until he meets the likes of these days and these people?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Tu'adduna al-haq alladhi alaykum wa tas'aluna allaha alladhi lakum wa tas'aluna allaha alladhi lakum," that you perform and you give the right that is upon you, and if the rights that the rulers and the people of authority have from you, you give them that right and you ask Allah for your right. As for the right that they're withholding from you and they're not giving you, you don't go and take that back. You don't raise your sword and try to take that from them. Rather, you give them the right that they have upon you. And as for the right that you have from them, that they're withholding and oppressing you and not giving you, then you ask Allah for that right. Meaning you be patient and you beg Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, He mentioned likewise in His book, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْوَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْوَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that likewise, and like this, we set in charge the oppressors one over the other because of the deeds that they used to do. And many times the ruler who comes in charge, if he's oppressive and he's evil, it's as a means of punishment for the actions of the people. And the ruler, he only comes from amongst the citizens. He's not somebody from outside the neighborhood. Rather, he's one of them. So he came from them. He's like them. So whenever the people are oppressing themselves, and from the worst of all oppression is to call on the graves and to worship the graves and to make tawaf around the graves and to have a heart, the heart attached to the grave and the likes like this, calling on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal, building big masajid, or they call them masajid, mashahid, big shrines on top of the graves, and turning the people away from worshiping Allah alone to calling on the grave and putting faith and trust in the grave and slaughtering for the grave and making oaths for the grave and swearing by the grave and the likes like this, then what do you expect? This is giving the greatest right, violating the greatest right, the right of Allah to be worshipped alone. And then if the people, they start cheating each other in the markets and buying and trading and interest and not having any concern or care for the commandments of Allah and the prohibitions and violating them publicly, having no concern whatsoever, just in public, violating the commands of Allah, buying and selling in that which is haram, buying and selling in alcohol and pork and magazines that are foul and vulgar and vain, and buying and the likes like this, and all of these evil and foul transactions, purchasing purchasing property, yani with interest and with contracts that are found, without any shame, without any shame, and the likes like this. This is what happens. This is the outcome of that because of the sins. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And like this, we set in charge the oppressors one over the other because of the deeds that they used to do. Because of the deeds that they used to do. So the humiliation that has befallen the ummah is because of the sins of the ummah and the fact that the ummah has turned. Yani much of the Muslims, they have turned away from the obedience of Allah. And there's many reasons why that for this. And from the greatest of them is the istimar, colonization. They have come to the Muslim lands and corrupted them, and likewise the spreading of the corrupt creeds and the deviant sects, the spreading of the different groups like the creed of the Sufiyya and all the likes like this. All of this is from, and the creed of the Rafida and so on and so forth, corrupting the Muslims and taking them away from the truth and taking them away from their religion. And taking them away from their religion, dancing around in the masajid, calling on others besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, who's going to help them? How could they ever have victory in this manner? How could they ever have victory in this manner? It's been mentioned with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he made dua. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lil-ladina kafaru waqfir lana rabbana. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lil-ladina kafaru. Oh, our Lord, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says, oh, our Lord, do not make us a fitna for the people who disbelieve. Do not make us a fitna. لا تجعلنا فتنة للذين كفروا. Oh, our Lord, do not make us a trial and a tribulation for those who disbelieve. What has been mentioned about this in the tafsir, like in Tafsir al-Baghawi, is that what would occur, what he's referring to. And how could the believers, how is he's afraid that the believers, the Muslims, will be a fitna for the disbelievers? How would this occur? What has been mentioned about that, barakallahu fikum, is that the Muslims, many of them will be engulfed in sins until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliates them by putting their enemies in authority over them. Because of the sins, because of the sins of the vast majority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate them. Humiliate the Muslims by placing their enemies in authority over them. At this time, because the enemies of al-Islam have authority over the believers, then they will think and believe that they're on top. And they'll believe that in reality they have something good. And they'll believe that the Muslims, they must be upon falsehood because they are under them and humiliated. But in reality it's a trial and a test and a punishment for them. So he's saying like this, oh our Lord, do not make the believers, do not make us a trial for the disbelievers. Do not make us a trial for the disbelievers. Meaning, do not set them on authority over us and punish us by way of them and humiliate us by way of them. Because then they may believe that they're on top and that they are actually upon the truth and that the people of al-Islam are upon falsehood because they're under them. And this is what we see today. So this is because of the sins. This is because of not having care or concern for the commandments of Allah. Because of blatantly violating the prohibitions of Allah. Because of preferring this life over the hereafter and showing preference to the desires and the whims over establishing the religion of al-Islam and worshipping Allah sincerely and truthfully by obeying Him with humbleness and humility and with love and hope and trust and reliance and by fearing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what would happen. This is what will happen. So the cure is not in striking, the cure is not in raising the sword and fighting against the rulers, but the cure is in by rectifying one's situation and by returning to Allah Azza wa Jal, by returning to the religion, returning to the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, by returning to the Tawheed and fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal and establishing the religion inwardly and outwardly in one's own life, in one's own life, in one's own family, in one's own market, in one's masjid, in this manner, and raising a generation upon that way. Raising a generation who loves Islam, who cares for Islam, who loves Allah Azza wa Jal and prefers His obedience, who loves the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and prefers His way, instead of the generations that have come previously that have shown great love for the worldly life and have great deficiency in establishing al-Islam. Victory and success is in Islam. Establishing the Islam that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam he was upon. In this manner, we will have victory and the humiliation will be removed. And until then, it will never go away. It will never go away. So in any case, this is the issue here. It's forbidden to revolt against the Muslim rulers. it is forbidden to revolt against the Muslim rulers, and we've seen the wisdom behind that. The wisdom behind that. After this, the author, he continues the topic, and it's very beneficial how these chapters are arranged now. And one of them is based upon the other. He says, Babu ma ja'a fil fitan, the chapter with regards to that which has come about the fitan. Al-fitan is the plural of fitna. Fitna. And the fitna, the people of Nar, as they mentioned, al-mihna wal-ibtila. The word fitna literally means a test and a trial. A test and a trial. The people of knowledge of the Arabic language, they say, Asluha min qawlika fatantu al-dhahaba wal-fidda idha ahraqtahu bin-nar. Idha ahraqtahu bin-nar liyabina al-jayyidu min liyabina al-jayyidu min al-radi. That the word fitna, it means a test and a trial. But originally in the Arabic language, you use this word fitna to refer to putting the gold and the silver in the flame in order to burn it and to try it and to test it, to verify that which is authentic and good from that which is corrupted or counterfeit. And so these ores like gold and silver, sometimes they have properties mixed with them They have impurities mixed with them. So if you have a piece of gold and you want to identify that which is pure from that which is impure, you put it in the flame. You put it in the flame. So that which remains, this is the pure gold. And likewise the silver. So the flame will remove all of the impurities. The gold and the silver, when it's placed in the fire, it's not affected. The gold is not affected. The gold will remain. The silver will remain. That which will be affected and that which will be removed are the impurities. So this is the origin of the meaning of the word fitna. So the fitna is a means of testing, is a test and a trial. And likewise, it's a means to identify those who are truthful from those who are liars, and from those who are strong from those who are weak. But likewise, in general, the word fitna, it means trials and tests, calamities and hardships and difficulties. And the fitan, there are many. These trials and these tests, the fitan, the ibtila'at wa imtihanat, there are many types and many aspects and numerous ways that they occur. And in general, they all return back to two major affairs. And this is fitna to ash-shubuhat wa fitna to ash-shahawat. We have discussed these issues in these particular classes in this book a number of times. The fitan, the trials of the doubts and misconceptions in the religion, and the way to deal with them and to repel them is by having profound and sound, proper Islamic knowledge with regards to creed and methodology to repel those doubts and those misconceptions. And for the truth to be clear and for certainty to be achieved is by way of having strong and firm grounded knowledge. And as for the shahawat, then they are the lusts and the desires that are impermissible. And the way to deal with them and to treat them is to have strong determination and firm resolve to abide by that knowledge and to put it into application and to strive against one's soul to move in a manner that is according to the guidance and not to the desires, and contrary to the desires. So we have the huda and we have the hawa. To follow the knowledge and put it into application is to be upon huda, guidance, and to oppose that in any manner is to be upon hawa, desires and whims, waliyadhu billah. But Allah knows best what is intended here specifically in this chapter. The fitan are the trials that will come and the separation and the dissension that would occur in the ranks of the believers, and the fighting and the killing and the murders, and likewise the robbery and the theft and the differences that occur amongst the Muslims themselves, specifically with regards to the rulers and to the authority in the land. So this is what is intended here, this fitan here, and the great fitan, the great trials that affect the whole ummah, from the decision and the dissension in the ranks, and from the fighting and the quarreling that happens between the Muslims, and the killing that happens between the Muslims fighting one another for authority in the land. So the author, he says, Babu ma ja'a fil fitani wa qawli lahi ta'ala. The chapter with regards to that which has come about the fitan, meaning the warning from that, the warning from these trials, and that one should be aware of them to avoid them and stay away from them and not to get involved in them, and the dangers of that, and likewise the sin of those who get involved in that and fall into that. And the statement of Allah the Most High, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُسِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ خَاصَّةً وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُسِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ خَاصَّةً. Allah, he says that you should be cautious and aware. Avoid and stay away from a fitna, from the trials that does not inflict those who oppress from amongst you, yani specifically. It does not affect the oppressors from amongst you specifically. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. And you must know with certainty that Allah is severe in punishment. And this noble verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is warning the believers from a fitna, from a trial, from trials and from calamities. But this particular fitna, it does not afflict only those who oppress. And it does not afflict the wrongdoers only. Some people may think that the people who... those who are oppressors through the land, and those who work evil, and those who are foul and corrupted, that whenever the punishment befalls, it befalls them only. That's not the case. There's a type of fitna that becomes widespread. If the fitna becomes widespread, whenever the punishment befalls, it touches all of the people. There's a fitna that if it becomes widespread, the fitna that becomes widespread, whenever the punishment befalls, it touches all of the people. They will all be affected by that. So this is what is being mentioned here. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُسِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَةً وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And this is likewise in the case that if there are great trials and there are great evils that are spread through the land, and no one reprimands them, and no one forbids them, no one commands the good or prohibits the evil, and they start to witness the evils being widespread, and people are silent about that, and no one says anything, and there's no advice being given with regards to that, many times this is whenever Allah Azza wa Jal, He will send an encompassing trial and an encompassing punishment that will touch all of them. That will touch all of them. Those who are involved in those evils, and likewise those who are silent about them. So the evils that occur, especially amongst the ranks of the believers, they must be clarified. And the people must be advised and reprimanded. Whether they like it or not. Whether they like to be reprimanded or they like to hear that or not. Rather, they should be told that that is wrong. For the sake of Allah. So somebody who sees his brother or his sister involved in something that is not wrong, that is not right, involved in something that is foul or forbidden, involved in something that is contrary to that which is permissible and allowed in the deen of Allah, and when he knows that, he must give them advice. He must give them advice sincerely and hope good for them and clarify for them that this is a bad way. And if they don't like that, or they don't like them after that, that's on them. But the one who's sincere and the one who is truthful, many times that which is from the heart, it will go into the heart. And sometimes the people who are established upon their whims and following their desires, and they have become attached to that way for some time, it's difficult for them. It's difficult for them whenever their hearts become sick. But also, likewise, those people who are affected by the likes of these affairs, but they themselves also, they're truthful and they love Allah. But they have been fallen into some sins. They love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They love Islam, but they have been tried by some sins. When somebody who's sincere and advises them with the proper words and the proper intention, advising them with the proper intention and the proper advice in a good manner, maybe in the beginning they reject that, or they appear to oppose that. But many times, whenever they're left by themselves, that will sink in their heart, and they will reflect over that. And maybe Allah Azza wa Jal will put that. We'll make that advice as a seed of goodness in that person's heart, and it will affect them. And maybe not the first day or the second day, maybe later after that, they will recollect over that, and they will benefit from that, and they will rectify their affair and repent to Allah. So a person, he will give the advice that he knows and that he sees. And it's important not to leave the believers upon falsehood and upon evil and upon violations, but rather to advise them. And likewise, the one who advises, he doesn't take it personal. If he advises the person and they don't agree with him, or take his advice, it's not personal. It's not personal. It's deen. It's deen. We're only advising you for the sake of Allah. If you follow the advice and it's in its proper place, alhamdulillah, this is good for you. If you don't advise it, then that's between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. That's between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Like this, but a believer, he would advise. And he would advise, and he would not advise one time and say, "Oh, I advise so and so. Yeah, I'll leave him to his sin." Nah. You advise, and you advise again. And you advise again, and sometimes you advise, and then you give some time, and then you advise another time, in another manner, or in another aspect, or another gathering, or another situation, and the likes like this. And you continue hoping good for your brother and your sister in this manner like this. But the point now is that these fitan, they're fitan that would occur, that would engulf the people. That would engulf the people. So a believer, he should be ready for that. Especially if we look around in these lands and these times that we live in, whenever sins are widespread. If the punishment comes, yani specifically, for example, to these lands, this is where we live. This is where we live. So we shouldn't, for example, think that Allah would destroy them on their neighborhood, but in our neighborhood, the punishment will not come to us because we're believers. That we should be ready. You should be ready. You should be ready, meaning in your faith. So those people who died in the punishment that afflicts the people, the general punishment that comes, those who die upon sin and upon transgression, وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ, then they will have that. Then that will be a punishment for them. And as for those who were in a good state, whenever that punishment came, then inshallah it will be a means of cleansing them and purifying their sins, and also a means to raise their rank. So the one who died in the likes of those tragedies upon tawheed and upon sunnah, upon tawbah and upon obedience, then this is a good death for him. But as for the one who died in a foul manner, contrary to that, then this is not good. So this is something to be aware of. Likewise, from the benefits of this verse, to ponder and to reflect, that there are certain trials that afflict the people, yani all of them. And somebody, maybe he's not necessarily involved. He's not necessarily involved, but he will be affected by it. He will be afflicted by it. Yani because of him being in the company of those people. Many times we find, for example, with our youth, may Allah protect them and rectify their affair. May Allah protect them and rectify the affair of the Muslim youth. It's very serious. Maybe some of them, he will say he doesn't do drugs. And maybe he doesn't do drugs. Or maybe he says he doesn't drink alcohol. Maybe he doesn't drink alcohol, but he's in the car with those who do. Maybe he's not drinking the alcohol. Maybe he's not smoking the weed. Maybe he himself, literally, he doesn't do that. Alhamdulillah, he's a Muslim. He knows himself. But he's hanging out with the wrong company and with the wrong people. Whenever the police arrest them, and whenever they're pulled over, the police arrest all of them. And many times, those individuals who actually have the alcohol, or they actually have the drugs and the likes like this, they'll pin it on the other person. Even they'll try to convince him that he should take the rap for them, because he had already been to jail one time or two times, and if he is convicted again, he's going to go away for life. So then they'll pin this miskin person to say it's his, and the likes like this. And if he wants to have friends that bad, he would do that. Or even if he doesn't, they don't go upon that road, they may say it's all his. And the likes like this. So in any case, maybe the police, they won't even care, and they'll arrest all of them, and they'll all be in jail. And they'll all be called in their mother and father to come get them out. And he didn't smoke the weed, and he didn't drink the alcohol, but he's in the company with them. So the punishment afflicted him likewise. So this is from having foul and bad company. We should be cautious from that. After this, the author, he mentioned, رحمه ta'ala, وقوله ta'ala, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ انظر كيف نصرف الآيات لعلهم يفقهون. He mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, قُلْ, يعني say to them, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. So he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, say to them that indeed Allah, He is the one who has the ability, who al-Qadir, Allah, He has the ability to send a punishment upon them from above them and from below them, from above them and from underneath their feet, and also cause them to be segregated and separated and divided into different sects and groups, and that they would taste the evil or the punishment one from the other. And this is the issue here that the author is referring to, and the fitan that he's referring to. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is powerful and strong. He has the ability to send the punishment from the sky, from the heavens, down on our heads. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's powerful, He's strong. He has the ability to send the punishment from underneath our feet. We have seen this recently. These earthquakes, they're punishments from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a punishment. The likes of these affairs, they occur because of the sins. Allah, He has the power and the ability to do all of this. to do all of this, to wipe out the people in this manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in an authentic narration, he supplicated in Sahih Muslim. He supplicated that Allah, he would not punish the ummah in this manner, that they will not be wiped out all at once. And likewise, he supplicated that Allah will not make their enmity and their trials amongst themselves. Allah Azza wa Jal, he answered the supplication with regards to not wiping out the ummah all at one time and not sending these devastating punishments from above or from below. Yani, that would wipe out the ummah entirely. But he did not answer subhanahu wa ta'ala the supplication with regards to the issue here. أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيَعًا وَيُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. And then that this is the case. This ummah, the trials, they will occur amongst itself. And this is the issue here. The trials will occur amongst itself. That there will be division and there will be separation and segregation. And that the believers, they will fight one another. And the trials that this ummah will face, that doesn't mean that there will not be any other calamities, like there will not be any, there not will be any trials, or there will not be any earthquakes. Like these things will occur, but the main trials that the ummah will face is the trials amongst each other, from fighting one another, and the trials that they have in this manner, like this, from the ba's and from the wars and the fighting. The Muslims fighting each other. And this is the fitan that's being referred to here. Babu ma ja'a fil fitan. The fitan of the Muslims fighting one another. And this occurs from disobeying the ruler, from revolting and going against the ruler, and leaving off the obedience and listening and obeying the ruler. And from the affairs that had preceded. If this occurs, if the leader, he's not obeyed, and if the people, they revolt against the ruler, then what will happen? Then they will start fighting one another. The Muslims would be divided into different sects and different groups, and then they will start fighting and killing each other. Again, this is another reason why the disbelievers, they encourage the likes of these revolutions, and they encourage the likes of these protests, because of what comes from that, from the Muslims being divided into different groups and then fighting and killing each other. So if you have an enemy that's fighting and killing each other, then you don't have to fight and kill them anymore, because you just sit back and laugh at them while they fight and kill each other. So this is a great strategy for the people who are playing the game in this manner, like this. To busy the Muslims with each other, fighting and killing each other. So this is from their plot and from their plan. So do not fall into that. And again, this is what they're hoping to cause, to achieve in the lands of Mecca and Medina. This is what they want to achieve there. They achieved it in the other lands of Islam, and many of the other lands of Islam, and they will not stop until they achieve it there. And may Allah preserve those lands and protect them. But this is something that the believers, they should realize. So by spreading the faults of the rulers and spreading the ills of the rulers and talking bad about the rulers and encouraging the people to revolt against the rulers, all of this is falsehood. Even if the rulers were corrupted and the likes like this. Well, how about if the rulers, for example, they're spending $200 million to help their brothers in Syria? Huh? How about that? People don't spread the likes of that, huh? If there's a neighborhood in a particular country, a few fools acting foolish and celebrating Halloween, they spread it all over the internet. Look what they're doing in this country and that country. And this is really only happening in a neighborhood there. Any of the people, they're not the majority of the people, they're not even aware of that. But whenever that same country, they raise $20 million in moments, literally, and the $200 million after that, none of this is even mentioned. For 5 days, nobody. Nobody from the United Nations, nobody from any of the other Muslim countries or the disbelieving countries sent a dollar. None of them sent a dollar to Turkey, nor to Syria. They didn't send a dollar. Who sent all the money? Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabian government. How much money did they raise? Do we even know? Millions. Literally millions of dollars. And likewise, they rented the biggest airplane in the world. This part wasn't translated, or this part wasn't spread like the way they spread the evils, because their strategy behind it. They rented the biggest airplane in the world, and they filled it up with all types of fire trucks and EMS vehicles, emergency vehicles and ambulances and supplies, with all types of medication and all types of diapers and food and rice and chicken and all these types of things, and they're flying it back and forth. They rented the biggest airplane in the world. Can you imagine that? My brothers are in trouble. Let me get on the phone. Give me the biggest airplane in the world. Bring it over here now. huh? Getting on the phone and calling somebody because my brothers are harmed. My brothers were affected in a great calamity. Give me the biggest airplane in the world. All these trucks I got over here, put them in the airplane. All this, this is their stuff. They pay for it. This is their police cars. This is their ambulances. And then they're sending their people over there. They're the only ones who went over there for a long time. They're the only ones who sent a penny. And not to mention that from the people, from the Muslims who strive against the Saudi, the government, the Turkish government, they have great enmity. They have great enmity. Why? For the Dawah Salafiyah. Well, who is affected by them the most is the layman underneath them. So who helped them? The people that they harm, the people they talk bad about. They left all of that. They forgave all of that, pardoned all of that, and they rushed to help their brothers. They rushed to help their brothers, but nobody translate that part, or nobody spreads that part. Wallahu al-musta'an. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.